Thank you, Ernie, and welcome to Generations Magazine's radio program. Tonight, we're going to be talking about a topic of aging in place. It's three words that are going to slowly grow in people's minds and people's thoughts as we all get older. You know, I'm a baby boomer, and a lot of us are baby boomers out there. And if you're listening to the show, this is very important. Those three words are aging in place. I mean, it's so important that yesterday's star advertiser, Michael Tsai, wrote an article about aging in place, and very interesting. We're going to handle this a little bit differently today from his article. We're going to talk about the legal and financial aspects of aging in place. And tonight we have our guest, Mr. Michael Yee, the certified financial planner from Ameriprise Financial. Handle the financial side of aging in place, and Mr. Stephen Yim, a local attorney here in Honolulu that does an estate planner. So, welcome, gentlemen. Stephen, since we had Michael on last time, why don't you go first? Give us our listeners a background on yourself and what do you do?
Yeah, thank you, and thanks for the invitation tonight, Percy.
Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Stephen Yim. I'm from Honolulu, Hawaii, and born and raised here. Went to Manoa School Elementary, and then on where our president went to school, Punahou School.
Yeah.
He's 1 year behind me at Punahou, and my wife's classmate.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And from there, I went on to University of Puget Sound and got an undergraduate degree in business and went on to law school at Santa Clara University.
Oh, wow.
From there, I got a master's of tax, which is called an LLM. And then
same age as the president, but he looks much younger.
Oh, I don't have the stress the president has these days. From there, I joined the Internal Revenue Service as an estate and gift tax attorney.
Here in Hawaii or in the mainland?
I was here in Honolulu, and so I had the opportunity of auditing all the estate tax returns that were filed in the state of Hawaii, and got a good experience there.
So you're not a tax attorney, though, but you practiced that for many years.
Yeah, I practiced tax law for many years, realized that tax law is always changing and very hard to keep up with. So, and my real passion is in estate planning, so I redirected my focus.
Well, tax planning must be a little boring as well, huh, Stephen?
Tax planning can get a little tedious, yeah. Oh,
good for you. So people out there that have some tax issues, then maybe they should call you.
if they have tax issues, estate tax issues, things dealing with their estate, I'm very happy to talk to them.
Okay. Yeah. And Mr. Michael Yee, my long-term friend and certified financial planner. What is a certified financial planner, by the way, Michael?
It just means that I went to a class and I passed the test.
Well, you're very modest because it's not an easy test to take, and you can't do it overnight. You can't even do it in 1 year, probably. It must be a years of studying.
Yeah, actually, the exams, there are 6 parts, and then there was a comprehensive exam. And I remember taking the comprehensive exam and being in the test room, and we had one guy was an MBA, and the other guy was a certified public accountant.
Wow.
And I'm the only financial guy. So 3 guys in there for 2 days taking this test. And at the end of the thing, we kind of kept in touch. So I found out the MBA guy passed. I found out I passed. And I found out the CPA guy failed. So it's not that easy.
It's not at all. And you do basically regular financial planning, retirement planning. What would you say?
Yeah. All financial planners look at people's lives in a holistic way. So we're going to address their cash flow. We're going to address their debt, address their protection needs, their investing, mm-hmm. and look at the entire life, financial life of the person. So my specialty for the last 30 years has grown over time to be seniors. And I think about 2/3 of my clients are senior citizens. And at any given time, I have, anywhere from 10 to 15 people aging to the point where they need caregiving. So I use that experience to help people.
Well, it's amazing that much of our practice is seniors. Stephen, how about yourself? What portion do you think are your seniors?
Well, it certainly seems to be growing now. That as I seem to be getting older. My clients seem to be getting older, and so a substantial portion of our work is with seniors now.
Wow. And, well, we all have parents still alive, too, so that's another issue we have. whether you're a senior or if you're a son, a child of a senior, you got to start thinking about that. And that's one of the things I try to let people understand. They got to start having to talk with the parents about what's going to happen to them. And so aging in place, that's why I emailed Michael Tsai this morning saying that, you know, listen to the show because we're going to cover the financial legal aspects of aging in place. And so if you have a question after 7:30, you can give us a call. We're not going to take any music requests from Ernie's friends, but we will after 8 o'clock. But if you have a question for us regarding any legal or financial for aging in place for your parents or yourself, the numbers to call is 946-2845. Or 946-2846. I didn't want to forget, not to forget that, you know, we have to thank Aloha Care for helping sponsor the Generations Radio program this month in November. So thanks out there, and thank you to Martha Klopin, who was here a couple weeks ago. Hopefully she calls in for Aloha Care and give us some tips on the Medicare Part D, which is the enrollment period right now. But anyway, so when people talk about aging in place, who should I start? Michael, why don't we start with Michael? Aging in place. What are you experiencing today? Because I read this article in Star Advertiser yesterday, and I get it, you know, some social issues, some services programs, long-term care. But from a financial point of view, basically, unless they are on Medicaid or some kind of state assistance program, they need to have some financial means.
Yeah, and I think the reason is to really understand that we're going through a time that we've never gone through before mm-hmm. in history, because people are living longer, and with that come certain financial aspects that we never had to deal with either individually or professionally. Like guys in my business have never had to deal with this before. And to give you an idea that in the old days, people would retire at 62, figure you just be a good saver, pay off your debts, live a good life, and die by age 75. Chances are you still had money left over. You leave your house to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, the Social Security Administration says for a married couple, one of them has a 50% chance of living to age 92. And in Hawaii, where people have longer lifespans than elsewhere, one in five people is a senior citizen today, and we're anticipating in the next 10, 15 years, it will be one in four. Probably the fastest growing age group is 85 plus, with 25,000 and growing. And what is changing with longevity is the need for long-term care. When I started 30 years ago, they used to tell me one in four people are going to experience long-term care. That meant that three people would land in the hospital and they die. And nowadays, the U.S. Department of Health says 7 in 10 will experience long-term care. Now, some people will need caregiving longer and some people less. But they come up with an average, and that average is 2.5 years. And you and I was talking earlier on Alzheimer's. And from the point of being diagnosed, you said that now it's 10 years.
The new studies I heard last week is 10 years life expectancy once you're diagnosed, which when I started 7-8 years ago in the senior field, it was 7.9 years. And that's a national average. So when you look at Hawaii's statistics, we live a lot longer than most places. Our health care is better. Everything's closer. So that's one of the major reasons why.
Yeah. So you know, Percy, I find many people are unaware of the need to plan because they're viewing their financial life from today. And maybe today they're comfortably living while they're healthy within their means, within their income. Maybe today they have a nest egg and they don't have any clue or maybe any idea of the possibility that they might live longer than they expected. Or that something will happen to land in the hospital, and all of a sudden, when family's not the answer to caregiving, the bills start coming, and the bills are big.
Yeah, for long-term care. Stephen, how do you handle the situation, or how do you consult with families when they, you know, do you present it in a proactive way, or do you wait? Do they typically come to you and the family has an issue already, and then now we need a trust or a power of attorney?
Yeah, boy, I just it hit home today. One of my friend's wife's parents haven't done an estate plan. And, you know, the disturbing figure, the statistic is that less than 30% of us ever do an estate plan.
Really?
Such a, it's such an
less than 30%.
Less than 30%.
Oh.
What an opportunity to look at our lives and make sure that the people that we care about are taken care of as well as ourselves. And my friend's wife's parents were looking for an attorney, and they were in their 80s. They hadn't done a plan yet. And as we talked, he said, well, it's getting a little more important now because my mother-in-law was just diagnosed with dementia and possibly Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
and she's starting to forget. And there's a window of opportunity for us to take a look and make our own plan. People think, well, if we don't make our own plan, we don't have a plan. Well, the state has a plan for us, and
right.
it's one size fits all, and it's usually not what we want.
You're talking about the probate.
Probate. Right. Probate is interesting. Lawyers, as a tax guy, I went to tax school, we tend to focus in on tax laws and probate. Getting things to our beneficiaries. And a study just came out. I always like the opportunity to be able to talk about this because it's such a nice time for everybody, an opportunity. Now is the time. You know that old Asian proverb that said 20 years ago was the best time and now is the next best time.
And so I thought you were talking about the holiday season when you see your parents. That's the best time.
That's the best time, to talk to them, yeah. Well, we have such a short window, but why it's so important to start talking, and if you've done an estate plan, to have it reviewed while we can make decisions, is there's a transformation going on in estate planning. The study that came out last year studied 30 years of estate plans to see what happened when someone passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Disturbingly, 70% of these plans failed, and it wasn't the getting it to the beneficiaries. In other words, avoiding our probate system or mm-hmm. minimizing taxes.
You mean the trust itself?
Creating a trust. It wasn't the getting things to the beneficiaries that caused the problem. Less than 2% was bad lawyering. The rest of it was relational issues.
Hmm.
Children fighting with each other, young beneficiaries receiving and misspending money. Responsible kids losing it to divorce and creditors in the receipt of the money. And that's where we can either take another look because people are living longer and mm-hmm. are healthier. We can review their plans. Or if they haven't taken the opportunity to set up a plan, start now.
Well, that's what I was trying to get at. I'm finding more and more specific situations where the parents don't have a trust, never met with an attorney, at least have a power of attorney, didn't even have that. And then obviously the other one is the medical directive, the advanced medical directive, they didn't even have that. And if you're healthy, you don't go to hospital. That's when they first ask you if you have a stroke or a heart attack or you go for a checkup and you have cancer treatments, they'll say, where's your medical directive? And in case anything happens to you in the hospital, they know whether to pull the plug or to revive you. You know, do you see that more so today, or are they coming to you that late?
Unfortunately, a lot of people still coming pretty late. A lot of people, they won't think about planning until they need a plan. I always think it's like life insurance. Well, life insurance, if you need life insurance, probably not a good time to go look for life insurance.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when I was 19, I blew my knee out in college, and I went to get surgery. And it hit home because when I was, right before they knocked me out, they asked the hospital administration, said, well, you're going to make a living will. And I kept telling him, no, I'm here for her knee surgery. It's a really stressful time to make a decision that is really important, not only for yourself, mm-hmm. but for your family when you're under stress.
Mm-hmm. Ernie, you want to try and take a couple calls here?
Okay. Like I mentioned earlier during our program that this portion of our program is Generation Magazine, so any phone calls has seem to do with being discussed. So hopefully you're one of the callers. Renee Candy, are you in there?
Yeah, this is Dwight Holliday. I'm calling for a Percy show.
How are you, my friend? How are you, Dwight?
Hey, Percy.
So how are you tonight? So I know you're going to say you love the magazine, right?
Yeah. Are we on the air already?
We're on the air right now, Dwight.
But I do love your magazine, I'm telling you. So
thank
I thought I'd
much.
Give you a buzz and let you know that. And also, you know I'm with the ADT dealership here in Hawaii. So, you know, for all of your listeners and readers, I'd like to offer them a state-of-the-art wireless launch system at no cost for the equipment.
Yeah, for those of you listening, if you don't know who Dwight Holliday is, you got to be over 50 because Dwight Holliday is from the Fabulous Five basketball team from the 70s, the UH basketball team. I actually talked to Dwight about this because I just... I'm sorry? Your own Freeman. Yeah, well, yeah. Dwight knows him very well.
He's with me, too.
But anyway, I asked Dwight to call in because I just got an ADT security alarm, and I'm looking at getting it for a relative of mine as well. So, Dwight, now mention that again. You're going to offer a special. Is that correct?
It's a special to all of your viewers, your listeners and readers. It's a state-of-the-art wireless alarm system made by Honeywell. It's ADT monitored. And it's valued at over $1,200, and I'm giving it away for no cost for the equipment.
So that's the one where your cost is free for the equipment. I just got that myself, and that's great. You just pay a monthly fee, I think, $35-$37 a month.
Right.
Anyway, Dwight, give everybody your phone number. If not, they can call me at the magazine, but give them your phone number so they know who to call.
Okay, I can be reached at
384-3036. And that's your direct line number. They can call you. And they need to mention Generations Magazine, but you'll get all the equipment free. You just got to pay a monthly, and I think it's an activation fee, but that's really minor.
Small activation fee, but the equipment is well worth it. And we also offer the, for those who are, living independently and over the age of 60, we also offer the emergency pendant. Which is a good thing to have.
Yeah, it's home. Yeah, it's a little penny. If you're living by yourself, you can press the button. It'll call your son, your daughter, the police department, fire department. So, hey, Dwight, thank you very much. It's a great offer, and we'll have to have that included in the magazine on our next issue. But thank you very much, my friend. Have a good night.
You too, Percy.
Okay, take care.
Aloha.
Yeah, I asked him to call in because I just got a system, and I'm looking to get in from one of my older relatives who live alone. Obviously Dwight's local, but it's good to have a local contact, and he just got involved with that. So it's a great, so ADT is a big national company, so you see them in commercials, but, basically we're going to be able to give all the listeners and readers of Generations Magazine the home security system. Mm-hmm. The equipment is free. You just pay the activation fee, and then the monthly fee is, I think, $36 or $37. So I just got it from my own particular home. But he's offering it to the listeners of Generations Magazine and the readers of the magazine if they want to get that special offer that I got. So I also said, if you give it to me, you got to give it to all our readers. He said, absolutely. It's a great deal.
But so all they got to do is associate themselves with your magazine.
Yeah. And they can call Dwight or they can call me, and I'll hook them up because I believe everybody should have, you know, with the society today, the crime today, as you know, is getting worse. Yeah, you pay a monthly fee, so, there's a speaker in the system where if they can call you, but you basically, if somebody comes into the house, there's a motion detector, doors, sensors, things like that. And you get a little key fob to remote control. So, yeah, it's a great product, great service. So,
peace
thanks
of
to
mind.
Dwight. Yeah, peace of mind. Yeah. Just knowing if your loved one lives at home by themselves, all they need to do is not call somebody, just press a button with a pendant. So, anyway, thanks to Dwight. Yeah, if you have any friends, if you want a special, I can give it to them. So, anyway, Michael, so, you know, aging in place, there's so many things involved financially besides, you know, if they live at home, they got to fix the house, buy a car. But, long-term care is your specialty. How do you handle that conversation with somebody say, well, you know what, Michael, I'm healthy. I don't need long-term care.
Yeah, and, the saying goes that the best time to look at whether you should get long-term care or not is when you think you don't need it, you don't want it. And maybe even think you can't afford it.
There's long-term care insurance, I mean, we're talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely. So long-term care is a promise by an insurance company to pay money to help pay for things like nursing home or to pay for people to come in and take care of you at home. So I think in a newspaper article earlier this year, they said it's $100,000 a year average if you got to go to a nursing facility. And they said if you are being taken care of at home and friends and family is not the answer and you end up hiring somebody, costs could go as high as $50,000 a year. So I always say that long-term care insurance may or may not be part of your plan, but it's worth looking into when you think you don't need it, you can't afford it, you don't want it. Because if the time comes and you end up in the hospital, and then if I'm managing money and your wife calls me up and says, my husband has to go to the facility, then you're going to be telling me that I need $10,000 a month. Can I get $60,000 for the first 6 months? And we're going to continue doing that as long as the stay continues. Now, some people get strokes, like my grandfather. And he survived in a nursing home for 5 years. So, do you know, Percy, who pays for most of the long-term care costs today?
Good question. I should know this, shouldn't I?
You should.
What's the answer?
42% of long-term care costs are paid by Medicaid.
Oh, Medicaid.
Medicaid. So why do you think Medicaid pays for 42% of long-term care costs? I think that we don't have that much poverty in America. I think that people became poor because they didn't plan early on mm-hmm. when the option became available. So that's where long-term care, whether you it should be part of your plan or not, that's for each person to determine. And just because you want it doesn't mean you can get it, because everybody knows that as we get older, we might look okay on the outside but have no idea what's going on the inside. So you have to qualify in order to buy long-term care insurance.
Absolutely. So that was Michael Yee from Certified Financial Planner from Ameriprise Financial. And Michael, by the way, is a specialist in long-term care insurance. In fact, in 2010, Ernie, Michael sold the most policy for John Hancock in the nation, not in Hawaii, in the nation. So I applaud you, Michael. And,
that's great.
You know, you've been a champion of explaining it. And that's really the important thing, is being able to explain it properly enough to make your clients understand how important it is to have long-term care insurance. You know, and I find a lot of my clients that maybe have a financial advisor say, well, has your financial advisor talked to you about long-term care insurance? But and a lot of times, Michael, they'll say, and I want you to see how do you handle this question, is a lot of them say, well, it's too expensive. I told my financial advisor I can't afford that. How would you address that question?
Yeah, and I said, I think it is expensive. So if you buy it now, you can pay $5,000 a year, or you have the option when you land in the hospital and you find out that you have to now pay for the long-term care, you can ask me to take the money out of your nest egg, and that's going to be $10,000 a month. So you can take out $100,000 a year if it happens to you, or you can take out $5,000 a year. Both of them seem expensive, but it seems reasonable to me that it's much easier for us to plan your longevity if we find a way to pay the $5,000 so that the insurance company pays the $100,000. To me, that's better use of money. And if we want to still accomplish the things that we intended, which is to preserve the nest egg for the family so that it can take care of the surviving spouse, make sure that no loss in quality of life occurs, even if you live to 95, and maybe if we did a good job, there'd be money left over for the kids.
So the bottom line is basically you'd probably tell them you can pay 5 to 10 cents on the dollar or dollar for dollar.
There you go.
Yeah. So, Michael, why is it so important when that you have a power of attorney, that you have a medical directive, first of all, a will? I mean, a trust is, you know, for people that maybe they think that if they have enough assets, you should be in a trust. But let's start off with the power of attorney, the will, and an advanced medical directive. What's so important about having those?
That's a great question. And a lot of times people jump past the powers of attorney to get to a will and trust. Mm-hmm. That's what they think estate planning is. And it's that old adage, if you're on an airplane, the flight attendants are saying that if we drop in altitude, the air mask comes down. And what do they tell you to do first? Put the mask over whose face? Your face first, to take care of yourself. then you can go ahead and take care of other people. The powers of attorney are such a nice way to manage the possibility that someday you may become incapacitated.
Mm-hmm.
And the underlying principle for why we like to have our clients consider powers of attorney, and I always ask my clients to consider long-term care insurance, and it's because we want to help preserve our clients' dignity, self-autonomy, and independence as long as they can. Powers of attorney, there are two real important types of powers of attorney. One is for health care matters, mm-hmm. where it is our opportunity to appoint someone that we trust, who we feel is the most able, the most capable, the most available to make healthcare decisions on our behalf and keep the control over making those decisions for ourselves or who would make those. The alternative is guardianship court, which is expensive, time-consuming, and stressful.
And that's if you don't have a power of attorney.
That's
and
if
you become incapacitated or develop Alzheimer's.
That is it. And my friend's wife's mother may be heading her. She has choices now. In other words, she could make a power of attorney, which is much less intrusive than a court guardianship proceeding might be for them.
But if she's diagnosed with dementia or Alzheimer's, can she actually execute a valid power of attorney?
It depends on how far along she is with the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. If it's a mild case and she's still able to make financial decisions, she could. So there may be a short window for
her. That's a fine line. Who determines that? The doctor?
The doctors would help us make that determination as to whether she can. Usually the doctors would make that determination. Lawyers could ask some questions, but usually we rely on the physicians to help us make those decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I work with seniors as well, and I always tell my clients that they should document when they got the power of attorney and have it documented with a doctor's letter saying I was competent on this day when I executed this document, or just a time frame, because if you get a power of attorney that's a year old and the doctor says, well, no, she's had dementia for 2 years, that's invalid to us. With regard to real estate transactions.
That's a great suggestion, is to have a doctor let us know what capacity their patients have.
Yeah.
The cousin to the healthcare power of attorney, just as important, is what we call a durable financial power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
It's the durable means it usually starts the day you sign it and it works through incapacity. You know, the old powers of attorney that people would make would end if someone became incapacitated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need these powers of attorney to work should someone become incapacitated. So it's a special statutory power of attorney that we're able to use in estate planning called a durable power of attorney.
Why do you use the word durable? Is it for a specific word, anything, or?
Durable, in this case, means works. It's durable. It's the durability of it works through incapacity.
Okay.
General. Usually we write general powers of attorney. So when you appoint someone that you trust who's able, willing, and available to make decisions for you, making sure those long-term care insurance monies that come in, someone's able to use those and invest them properly and spend properly on behalf of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second piece of. That's why it's so important to work for families to make sure their financial advisor and their estate planning attorney working closely together, because it is a partnership and a synergy that can work well together.
But I've noticed, you know, I mean, I work with seniors as well. I've a lot of senior clients. But you just mentioned that you're right. They should be working with their financial advisor. But I see a great number of my clients that have a trust and attorney, never even spoke to their financial advisor about the trust.
That's unfortunate. The conclusion of that study that we talked about earlier was communication. There's a psychologist, he just wrote a book. He calls it the inheritance taboo. We don't communicate with the people we need to.
Mm-hmm.
In our practice, we invite the financial advisor to join us in the meetings that the family feels that's appropriate, because we want everybody on the same page. Two
Absolutely.
People working together makes it sound much more than two people working together, that synergy, working together for the benefit of who? The client. And we offer, as part of our practice, a family meeting after the estate plan is done.
Mm-hmm.
For the beneficiaries, often it's the children.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's the agent under the power of attorney. for us to sit down with the financial advisor so that we can help explain what the parents just did. The children get the opportunity to meet the financial advisor.
Very good.
They get the chance to meet the attorney.
Boy, you read my mind. I was going that way. I'll ask both of you, because I notice a lot of my clients don't talk to the kids. I said, well, I found out, oh, who's your attorney in fact? Oh, my son, Michael. Did you tell Michael? Oh, not yet. So are you ever going to tell him? Yeah, someday. So I would tell him, you should always talk to your kids. You know, first is Michael, then it's my second son, Stephen, then my daughter. But, you know, they don't realize that, you know, I thought I was attorney in fact. But it's Michael. How come Michael? Michael's not even the oldest. I'm the oldest.
You know, I was thinking, when you have more than one kid, I have twin daughters, right. Jenny and Madison. And
hello, Jenny and Madison.
How are you guys doing? Are you in bed? Anyway, it's like a laboratory for me to watch children grow up. And for our own family, many other families, you cannot help but have some sibling rivalry going on. And I think that happens, and I believe when the children leave the household, that sibling rivalry doesn't go away, it goes dormant. We get our own families, we establish our own careers. When do we call the children back? Maybe when our parents have passed away. To deal with assets and these relationships, and that old Oriental saying, we don't want to test the strength of, the way to test the strength of tea is by throwing it in boiling water. Well, we don't want to test the strength of these relationships at a critical time. How do we minimize the risk that families struggle in their relationship is really to have an open communication. These estate plans are terrific. The legal documents that lawyers wrote, right. However, there's such a great chance for misinterpretation if the parents aren't here to explain what their thinking was.
Yeah, that's another thing. So, Michael, what happens when a family comes in and goes, you know, when they passed on or they have life insurance, do you direct your clients as well to talk to the children?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The first thing I want to say is that when Steve and I work together, we want to have that conversation even before the parents pass away. And the reason we do is, like Stephen said, children love their parents maybe in different ways. And the time that they're going to move into action is in a time of need. So the minute that the parent is in the hospital and not dead yet is when everybody comes around. And then if everybody's not on the same page, then what one child thinks is the best thing to do is different from the other child. And at that point, even with best intentions, we create tension and conflict. Mm-hmm. And when we have tension and conflict, even the best plan gets questioned. So to me, more so than any other time before, if we're going to succeed, we can't just do it by saving taxes, probate, by simply investing money, by simply buying long-term care insurance. We need to involve the entire family through the process, make them involved, let them ask the tough questions, let everything be transparent, not just with the kids, not just with the parents, but also with the financial advisors. Because if I was looking at my dad, and the financial advisor, first time I meet him is when my dad's in the hospital, I'm going to start asking questions.
Yep, right? That's too late.
That's too late. Or how about the worst one, like you were saying? What about get to the hospital, and then they learn he's going to go into a facility, so then he finds out I'm the financial advisor, and at that time he's going to say, by the way, does my parents have long-term care insurance? Right? And that's different now from maybe when we talk about it and mom and dad is healthy. They might say at that time, oh, that's $5,000. That's expensive. But I promise you from experience that when they're in the hospital, the first question they ask is their insurance. So my job, the tough job, is to talk to people and Stephen as well, and be able to help them to see what's coming down the road that they may be unaware of yet, right? The idea is to be prepared.
And that's where aging in place comes involved, right?
That's right.
To be able to allow to pre-plan and be proactive to be able to have home care versus a nursing facility, because it's obviously going to be close to double.
Yeah, we're talking about all these different things. The newspaper was a great article and so on. And the financial and legal plan has to be done at the beginning.
Yeah. We only have a few more minutes left, so if you have a legal or financial question, you can give us a call at 946-2845 or 946-2846. But we'll also be posting this show on our website, generations808.com, sometime after December 1st. So if you want to listen to it again, and if you want to take the numbers down a little bit later on, it'll be recording this. So, Stephen, what happens with the probate? So if somebody says, my dad, Stephen, didn't have a power of attorney, we didn't have a trust, I need to go through probate. Now, what does that entail?
That's a great question. That's a tough conversation to have.
It is, huh?
Because we can't do anything at that point.
You can't.
Well, we can't plan, like Michael said, be proactive. Like you said, we can't proactively plan for all these nice things we can do for the family. And it becomes a process at that point. Probate is a state-by-state system. When you really look at it, it's to clear title. When someone passes away and they own property in their own name,
okay,
not life insurance, they have a who is my beneficiary, not retirement, usually they have a who is my beneficiary,
mm-hmm.
not joint accounts, but maybe a property, a bank account. In Hawaii, the threshold is any real estate will go through probate.
Any real estate?
I unfortunately had to help some clients probate half of a parking stall.
half of a parking stall. Oh, my goodness. You can't just say, okay, Stephen, you can take it. I don't want to go through this process.
Yeah, it'll freeze. It'll be frozen. So at some point, you just have to...
I can't sign a piece of paper. I don't want it.
It's frozen.
Really?
Actually, it's frozen. It's frozen. It's stuck. It's stuck in time until somebody clears it. And it belongs to the estate of the person who passed away.
Oh.
If you don't have a will, you go through what's called intestate succession.
Mm-hmm.
Very confusing because there's no one even in charge to manage through the estate. So the time frame for probate, there's only one time frame. You have to start a probate within 5 years from someone's passing.
Okay.
And you really don't ever have to end.
Really? It could be frozen for as long as you
argue? It could be frozen for a long, long time.
Oh,
and as the generations continue to move along, and more people become
heirs.
Oh. You can imagine how difficult it will be to clear title to these things.
Wow. So if they have money in the bank, nobody can touch it.
The threshold for financial assets, mm-hmm. other than real estate, cumulatively, is $100,000.
So if you have less than $100,000 in financial assets, you don't have to go through probate?
You don't have to go through what we call a formal court probate. You can use what we call an affidavit for collection of personal property, much easier.
Oh, okay.
And probate, while it's not the end of the world, you can get through it. It's expensive. It's time-consuming. It's stressful. It's a court system, and it's not necessary for us in planning.
We have a couple more minutes. So any last words, Stephen, that you could provide?
Something.
Sure.
If someone has a living trust and they started a living trust with you and maybe they have five properties, but out of the five properties, only three will put in the living trust, what happened to the other two properties?
That's a great question because that hits home to that there are really two key parts to estate planning, establishing the frame. The trust, the instructions for who are the beneficiaries,
mm-hmm.
and the second part is we have to direct things to the trust and place things into the trust to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And for real estate, it's everything's got to go in. If we've gone half of the way or even over half of the way, three got into the trust, two are not in the trust, we have a probate for two of the properties.
So if you have five properties, three under living trust,
two outside.
Trust deed, the other two will go to probate.
The other two would go through probate.
Even though you have a living trust, because you did not transfer you into didn't. The living trust.
We call it funding the trust, and if you don't go all the way, and that's where a lot of people fall short, lawyers included. We don't spend enough time helping clients. And it's life insurance and retirement. Do those need to be directed to the trust, bank accounts, mutual funds, property you might have purchased after you created the trust? Mm-hmm. Did we get that into the trust? Now, because we're human and we make mistakes, we need to create a will. So a lot of times people ask, well, if you create a trust, do you need a will? And the answer is yes, because we're human and we make mistakes. So oftentimes people will forget to put things into trust. The will that we create is what we call or refer to as a pour-over will. That's not a legal term. It's like taking a bucket and pouring it over into the mm-hmm. trust. So the will says if we didn't put it in trust, yes, we'll have to go through probate. And the will directs these things to get into our trust where all of our instructions are. So it will eventually get into trust and it will have to go through probate.
Okay, so only the three is very safe. The three properties are safe because it's in the living trust.
In the trust.
But the other two got no choice but to go through probate.
Got to go through probate, yes.
So can they disperse the property, or they can sell the property, the three properties that are in the trust?
The trust property is so easy to deal with because you don't need a court. You don't need court direction. The successor trustee steps in. You know, I might want to mention that the state of Hawaii just passed a new law. It's called a TODD, transfer on death deed. For our clients who hold their property, maybe husband and wife outside of trust, the risk is if husband and wife both pass away together, mm-hmm. outside of the trust, we'll go through probate. There may be reasons why couples hold property tenants by the entirety uh-huh. for the creditor protection. Driving down the road, someone runs in front of you, you hit them. The tenants by the entirety provide some creditor protection for the couple so they don't lose their home. Now, the risk is they both pass away, we'll go through probate. This TODD just passed this year. This deed allows us, much like life insurance, to name the trust as the beneficiary of the property should a simultaneous death occur. Therefore, we can avoid probate in that case. Exciting law for our area of the world. To avoid probate and maintain some creditor protection.
Wow, it's fantastic. Yeah. Stephen, see all this information we get. Michael, any last few words? We got to head out of here, but any last few words about aging in place or how to be proactive? That's what we're trying to get our message to our listeners out there.
Yeah, a word of advice to listeners. When you're younger, you're probably more capable, more able, you're physically fit, you're mentally sharp. And what you have to realize is that with time, you're going to slow down physically and mentally. And long before that happens, the best thing I can tell you is you need to find somebody or a team who is trustworthy, who is competent, and who cares. There's a lot of people who are financially competent, but if they're missing the trust factor or the caring piece, it's not going to be the same. And the thing about trust and competence, you can't tell that on the front end. Yeah, usually it takes time. And the best way to find somebody like that is usually through word of mouth, through somebody who already puts their financial life in this person's hands. And they can tell you that they themselves feel financially secure in their hands. So you're looking for somebody that is financially competent, trustworthy, and that cares.
Great message. Now, we didn't mention the phone number all night long. So if you, Stephen Yim, your office is on Barataria Street, how do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can reach me at 524-0251.
And if you got to write that down, read Generations Magazine. Stephen writes articles for the Generations Magazine. Also go to our website at generations808.com. Michael, how do people get a hold of you?
You can call me at 952-1240.
And Michael as well writes for Generations Magazine. Best place to pick it up, people always ask me, basically, wherever you live on Oahu, the library is the best place. I would tell you, Big City Diner, a lot of people pick up Big City Diner and select the Times, Longs, and Safeways in your neighborhood. So, anyway, thank you very much, gentlemen. Aging in Place, what a great topic. We can go on for days with that, yo.
Thank you, Percy. Thank you.
Michael, Stephen.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Ernie, thank you very much. We'll see you next week, Tuesday, November 29th. We're going to have AARP here in Hawaii, here on Generations Radio, next Tuesday, November 29th, 7:15. Aloha.